Angels, oh baby, ooh.
With you. Yes.
Yes. I'm the victim of a basketball jones. Ever since I was a little.
It happens to all of us.
I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
It's like a basketball to me.
I even put that basketball underneath my pillow.
Volunteers win.
Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night.
61.
I need help, ladies.
58.
I need someone to stand beside me. I need someone to set a pick for me at the free throw line.
Line of life.
Someone to hit the open man on the give him go.
I've been there before.
Lining up in the popcorn machine.
Yep.
So cheerleaders, help me out.
Basketball jump. I got a basketball jump.
Oh, that sounds so sweet.
I got a basketball jump.
Sing it out. Come on, Coach Billy and Red Dance, sing along with us.
Got the coach singing with him.
Tennessee goes to 5-4 on the year. 61-58 victory in Knoxville over Tennessee Tech. Rare Friday night basketball game. A game Tennessee trailed for a good two-thirds of the game. Pulling away late. Went up by 8 late. Hold on. Win the game by 3. Tennessee a 61-58 win. Josh Richardson continues to amaze. Down the stretch, some of the lesser-known suspects contributing for Tennessee this evening. 865-200-5402 if you want to respond. Again, 865-200-5402. It's your smart way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, Tennessee basketball overtime. Tony Pasilio reporting live from the Raymere studio. Ensconced here in beautiful Knoxville, Tennessee. In what I've come to term the basement of excellence. Tennessee on the night shoots 44% from the field. Now, I'll say this for you, because chances are, because I started off with "It Ain't All Flowers" by Sturgill Simpson. You know, you, chances are, you've bought the hype, and that's okay. I like the hype. Hey, hype makes my world go round. Hype makes your world go round. We all like hype. We all like hype. The truth is, this basketball team, as we told you the other night after that NC State game, they're going to have to fight for everything they earn. I mean everything they earn. So we're going to wrap some basketball tonight if you want to get in. Peel, the peel, the peel.
Now rapping basketball, number one, Curtis Blow. Basketball is my favorite.
Tennessee tonight from the line, 66%, 12 out of 18. One big difference in the game is the Vols got to the line 18 times. Tech only got to the line 6 times on the evening. Another thing I like about what Donnie Tindall's teams are doing early, they're challenged to score. They're not a very good three-point shooting team, so don't shoot a lot of them. The other night, I think they shot, 16? Tonight, they shot 11, which is a good number. For this team, they were 5 of 11. 11's enough. I mean, this team here has to maximize every possession. And tonight they get by with a 61-58 win as Tennessee victorious 61-58 over Tennessee Tech. The Vols go to 5-4 on the year. Tennessee tonight tying Tennessee Tech in rebounding in their building, 29 each. Tennessee with only 11 offensive rebounds on the evening, 11 assists for the Vols to 11 turnovers. Not the type of number you want to see against that competition. And a rarity, an opponent outfouls Tennessee. I don't know how many times that's happened this year through 9 games. I would have to say not very much. Would have to be my guess. And Tennessee with 11 turnovers on the night. Tennessee Tech turns it over 16 times, and that's why Tennessee won tonight's game. Let's go now to Keith Hatfield with some expert analysis from him. Keith Hatfield, welcome to your Smart Way Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic Tennessee Basketball Overtime, where the Vols win 61-58. Some of the player numbers in tonight's game. Tennessee with 2 players in the evening in double figures. And if I would have told you coming into tonight, Keith, that those 2 players would be Josh Richardson and Devin Bachman. For the second consecutive game, Bachman gets in double figures for the Vols. Keith, he was known as being a scorer in junior college, and I think we're starting to see why a little bit. This guy, he's getting a little more comfortable and a little more playing times. And he doesn't have the best handle in the world. I'm not sure how many things, Keith, he does well on the floor. But Bachman is giving the Vols a lift.
Oh, there's no doubt. He's not afraid. He's not afraid out there, Tony. We've got too many guys that when they get the ball, I mean, Robert Hubbs, they might as well have just put a student manager out there tonight. Because Robert Hubbs simply caught the ball, dribbled it 3 times, backing away from the basket, and then passed it right back to whoever gave it to him.
Scared to death. Robert Hubbs is scared to death.
He's got to be a threat. I mean, yeah, he's playing at a pace right now that you just can't play at the Division I level. And Baldwin's not afraid, and he's shown he can make some shots from deep. I thought you saw the same thing with Kevin Punter tonight. Punter's not terribly afraid.
Hey, as Bachman's developed more time, source I have this week told me that Bachman absolutely wears Hubs out in practice on the offensive end, defensive end. And Bachman tonight had a series with about 9.5 left when the game was very much in balance. Tennessee, in fact, was down 2, and he came up with 2 key steals in the game, Keith.
No, he appears to be one of 3 guys that actually know where they're supposed to be defensively, position-wise. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Punter and Richardson do, and Baldwin appears to be the 3rd guy that has at least some idea where they're supposed to be.
Your thoughts on the close shave tonight? Obviously, this team, and that's why I say, and I tease my goal for this team, a plus 500 record. I mean, we have to be realistic. Every win counts. Every win matters. They go to 5-4 now. Time to build some cushion. Tonight's game, Keith, was really, really close to being a stinker at home. Really close.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. If fans didn't like tonight, I've got bad news for them, and that's get ready. Tennessee's going to play probably 20 of these this year, where because they don't quit and they scrap and claw defensively, they're not going to get blown out. But they're not blowing anybody out either.
No.
Tennessee's going to play, like I said, probably 20 games like this year. So get used to it. I mean, that's what it's going to be like. And the SEC's not good enough that they can beat up on Tennessee, and Tennessee's not good enough that they can beat up on the bottom in the middle of the SEC. So I think tonight will be like a broken record. You're going to see these kind of 60, low 60-ish to high 50-ish games the rest of the year, and probably a few more low scoring than that.
Let's go
take
to our
the win and move on.
Keith, give me some other thoughts on tonight, and then we'll go to our phones.
No, I thought that Ian Childs came in and gave Tennessee a lift in the second half. I'm kind of wondering what kind of magical healing powers Ted Newman broke out at halftime that suddenly got him healthy after he hasn't played all year. I'd be interested to hear what Coach Tindall's comments on that are. But I thought him coming in, and the players seemed to get a lift off him being on the floor for the first time. So I think that's a positive. I thought Willie Carmichael, despite being outsized and pretty much being by himself a lot down low against 2 big guys, acquitted himself fairly well. And Tariq Owens made a couple of plays against 2 veteran big guys. And so I thought there were some positives, but no, it's not going to be pretty with this team. And as you said, any win this team gets, you smile and you walk out. I put it this way. It's like fishing. You don't really want to throw any back in this season. Take them all, no matter how
bad. Take them all. Take every single darn one of them. Every single darn one of them. And take them to the bank. Absolutely to the bank. We'll go to our phones if you want to get in with us today. The number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. He's Keith Hatfield. This is Tennessee Basketball Overtime, presented by our friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Tennessee with a victory tonight. Not the prettiest victory in the world. Not the ugliest either. But pretty much what you're going to see all year from this team. We do believe. Is that true, Keith? Do I speak for you and me and pretty much this is who we are?
Oh, no doubt. This team's not good enough offensively to do anything spectacular or anything. This team's that's exactly what you're going to see out of this team. You're going to see effort. You're going to see them scratch and claw on defense. You're going to see them struggling to score. That's what you got.
Back to our phones. We're going to go to our phones, get as many people in tonight as we possibly can. If you'd like to talk, we'd love to hear from you. If you've never called a call-in show, you're invited to call. If you call all the time, you're invited to call. If you're a serial caller, you're invited to call. If you're somewhere in between, you're invited to call. We'd love to hear from you this evening. Tennessee with a victory, they go to 5-4 on the year. Keith Hatfield's extremely excited about it. I am myself. Let's, without further ado, go to our phones if we can. And let's grab our first caller. Hello and welcome. You're on your smart way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The Vols a 61-58 winner tonight over Tennessee Tech in Thompson Bowling. Hello.
Hey, Tony. This is one of your serial callers.
All right, buddy. Go right ahead. Jeker.
And I'll tell you what. I'm so happy.
Talk to me. Why are you happy?
I've got no problem with a three-point eking out a win over Tennessee Tech. Hey, all that matters right now is that we win each of these non-conference games that we can win up until the first of the year,
mm-hmm.
and up until the SEC season starts.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I'll tell you one thing, and I'm going to admit I took me a nap tonight, mm-hmm. and I didn't wake up. I only saw the last 10 minutes of the game,
mm-hmm.
but I identified three of these freshmen, when I went down and watched them in the Rocky Top League. And that was Willie Carmichael, Demetrius Mustella, and Devin Bachman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of wondering why Devin Bachman wasn't playing earlier, because that guy can play, guys. What do you think, Keith?
I'll admit, Bachman has surprised me. Now, he's a junior college guy and all, but he's got a little more experience than some of those guys. No, Bachman can play a little bit, and he's played well. And the one thing you saw tonight that I hadn't really noticed that much until tonight, except when he's really trying to be fancy and trying to thread the needle too fine, Dietrich Mostel is a really good passer.
What not? Great observation.
I mean, he made several really, really nice passes, especially once he got kind of the top of the lane, then dumping the ball on inside. He was fantastic tonight as far as facilitating. I mean, he had a couple of turnovers where he either got too deep or tried to throw the ball through three or four people, and that's not going to work. But all in all, I think I saw some things I really didn't know were part of his game tonight, and that's always good.
Once he gets more comfortable, Mostella, I think the ceiling for him is outstanding. And, you know, first blushes can be wrong. I was wrong about Devin Bachman. Guy's a live body out there. That guy's not afraid. And Jeker, your first instinct, I think, is going to prove to be correct with him. I think he's going to be a nice player here.
Hey, Tony, I appreciate you asking Coach Tindall today.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a great guy. Hey, Tony, just to show you how down-to-earth he is,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately for him, I got his cell number.
Mm,
when I reached out to him when A.W. Davis was sick,
mm-hmm.
and I sent him a text message right after your interview today, and I said, Coach, great interview. keep up the great work. And I immediately got a reply back from him, and he could blow an old schlep like me off. And I immediately got a reply from him, said, thank you, my good friend.
What?
Yeah.
Jaker, are you with this guy? Come hell or high water. Come hell or high water.
I'll be honest with you, Tony. I'd rather have, if you gave me a choice between him or Bruce Pearl right now, I'd take Donnie Tindall all day long.
Oh, are you kidding? That might be a good show topic next week.
I'm serious. And I'll tell you what, you know, we're going to have rough games like this.
Sure we are.
The big boy we just lost for six weeks or so, mm-hmm. That's going to hurt us. But, and I thought it was a great question by you to pose to him about moving Robert Hubbs down low, because Hubbs, again, does nothing tonight. 0-for-3 from the field, one foul, two rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that guy wants to play, he's going to have to find his niche, because I don't see him playing outside. Do you?
That poor guy is lost in space. Now, Keith Hatfield, you said in the past on here you think he's going to come. Are we reaching critical time?
No, absolutely.
For him.
I mean, you saw tonight, and the sequence where he missed two of those three shots, mm-hmm. is exactly what's wrong with him. Here's a guy that has elite-level athleticism, mm-hmm. who can really get up, who goes out, and with a chance to, coming down the lane, to try to throw the ball down over a 5'11 guard, shoots this odd-looking 6-foot attempted floater that he bricks off the back iron. Then he rebounds his own miss and goes up even softer the second time. I mean, that just doesn't work. If that's the level and the effort he's going to put out there, he just can't play at this level.
So we're
I'm really not sure what level he can play at.
So we're kind of sort of wondering what's going on with him at this point. Would that be fair, all of us?
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, when a guy comes in a game and just catches the ball, takes three retreat dribbles, and throws it right back to the guy who passed it to him every time, I mean, there's 20,000 kids on campus who can do that, Tony.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Kip Leach can do that. I mean, I can name guys that I go hang out with that can do that. I think I can even do that, Tony. I mean, you've got to get some level of either production for him, or somebody else is going to have those minutes. You can't play 4-on-5 that way.
Jake, are you concerned about him?
Yeah. And I'm thinking we need to get whatever we can get out of him. And right now, I don't think we can get anything out of him on the perimeter. So I say force him to go down low. But I thought it was intriguing what Coach Tindall said today. If he's not going to buy into it, you know, there's no point putting him down there. Just leave him on the bench. But if he'll buy into it, let's try to help the kid get on the court, because we need him. Let's put it this way. We need somebody down there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the kid's got – and I love Coach Tindall's opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm not going to force a kid to do something he doesn't want to do, because if he doesn't buy in, it's not going to help the team.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I love me some Donnie Tindall. And I'll tell you what, guys, I thought I would never be this enthusiastic and happy about a 5-4 basketball program, but I'm all in.
Thank you, Jake. Good talking to you. Great. Have a great weekend. Go ahead, Keith. You were saying.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah, you want to try to get kids to buy in and everything, but at some point you've got to have a conversation with him. Here are your options. You're either going to try this out, what we're going to ask you to do, to see if you can be productive in this role, or you've got no role here. I mean, at some point, you just have to look at that and tell him quite simply that, hey, you just can't do that. You've got to either get with the program or find another program, because what he's doing right now is of no use to Tennessee. I mean, the kid's putting out decent effort. I mean, he's going out and playing defensively, and he'll get a rebound here and there, but you've got to find a role for yourself. I mean, if he's harboring some delusion right now that somehow playing inside would hurt his NBA chances, I got news for him. Or playing overseas, I got news for him. the game film of how he's playing right now is going to do a lot more damage to that than anything going and playing in the post is going to do for him.
He looks shot, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He just looks like completely lost. I mean, I sat with some guys tonight whose opinion on basketball I really respect, and all of us are just watching him play, and we're just like, what in the world? I'm just going to have Jay Price out there.
Donnie Tindall.
LaMarcus Golden. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stiffs that have come through. Jerron Brown.
We've been through
a bunch of stiffs.
On Jabari McGee, Donnie Tindall a few moments ago, Keith said he had surgery, prognosis 6 to 8 weeks.
And that hurt, and that coupled with losing Dominic Woodson puts you in a position, even more reason for Robert Hubbs to say, well, you know, it looks like Devin Balkman's going to take all my perimeter minutes. Why don't I just do this and see if I can actually get something done?
Tindall said he thought the Vols were going through the motions in the first half. He said, I take the blame for that. He feels like he didn't set enough of a tone.
I didn't think the effort was that awful. I just thought the execution was, oh, dear God. I mean, I thought it was terrible.
Tindall said, and I quote, we have to get our minds right. We must learn from this game.
Well, yeah, you can't take that. You can't take a performance like that and just wear it and be as if, okay, well, everything's good. Let's move on. No, that was pretty atrocious basketball.
Tindall said, I challenged our guys to play with more energy. I felt like we were going through the motions in the first half.
And I think it was challenge accepted from the very start of the second half. I mean, as I said, I thought inserting Childs in there helped. And for a guy who hasn't played in however long in a competitive game, I thought Childs was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't spectacular, but I certainly didn't think he was bad.
We need a body. Keith, we don't need spectacular. We need a body.
Well, exactly. We need somebody that can keep Josh Richardson from having to play 37 minutes a night at point guard.
Yes. Keith, we're going to go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us. I do want to say to you that we would love to hear from you. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, we do have lines available. I'll stay on as long as we have phone calls. In other words, I'll stay on 5 minutes. I'll stay on 5 hours. As long as we have phone calls, I'll stay on. And as long as we don't, I'm taking it to the house because it's a Friday night and it's late and the moon is out. I'm going to head on over to the Twist and Shout. Let me go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Tindall said, with our post guys, it's an absolute lack of strength that we can't finish around the basket. He went on to say, on Ian Childs, he's playing at 90% right now. He's a lot more lively in practice, why I felt comfortable putting him in a game. And you were pleased, Keith, with what you saw from him.
Well, certainly. For somebody who hasn't been in a game in that long, I don't think that was bad at all. Especially your first game really at that level. I thought that was certainly something you can build on. I certainly didn't take anything negative out of that.
Back to our busy phones we go. Let's grab another call this evening on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, who's this?
It's Don.
Hey, Don, welcome, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, game tonight. Or, you know, this is what we're going to be. We've been it all year. He's talking about Childs. I thought the fact he came in and probably Tech didn't even know who he was. But, you know, he scored the first basket to get us off the snide.
Mm-hmm.
Then another guy that has been scoring a lot that didn't do anything all night was Moore. But, buddy, when it came down to that last 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Seen him drive to the bucket and get mm-hmm. an M1. I just love to watch that kid play.
He cares about what he's doing. You know, he's probably not the most in-control kid on the floor, and I'm sure he drives Keith nuts. But I really think that kid cares about what he's doing.
Well, he's recruited as a point guard. Mm-hmm. Hell, I don't know. But, you know, it's funny that he and Richardson are, you know, our go-to guys and producers this year to a certain extent. Both those were kind of under the radar guys. And Konzo's five star is the one that you guys have been discussing about not producing. Mm. And when he got his five stars, he was playing inside. He was playing the post. So Keith mentioned, you know, worrying about his NBA prospect. Maybe he needs to just go play the position that got him all the higher recruiting rankings.
Well, you know, the truth is right now, and I mean, I hate to say this, he doesn't even look like a Division I, legitimate Division I basketball player right now. I mean, that poor guy has really lost his, he's lost his way, hasn't he?
He played better last year before they redshirted him or whatever, when he was playing with that thing on his shoulder.
He sure did.
He played better last year.
He sure did.
He played this year.
He sure did.
Mind-blowing. But I just love his team. If we're 500 at the end of the year, you know, I'm not going to cry about it. If we can be 500 in conference, which would, I think we should win these next three out of conference games. But if we do that, you know, we're sitting there at 8-4. If you split your conference games, you know, not a bad year. And it's going to get you in the NIT, if not in the tourney, depending on what everybody does. They've got a marquee win already and a good win besides the marquee win. So I can see this team, but the only thing is we got to get somebody, two things, point guard obviously, and somebody else that can fill it up, because Josh Richardson is the most complete player I can remember at the University of Tennessee in a long time. And the most improved player from his freshman year to his junior and now his senior year that I can ever remember.
Is Josh Richardson, I asked Donnie Tindall about this today, they have turned him into a bad man.
Yeah.
They've got this guy playing like he walks out there with a terrible chip on his shoulder every night, Don. Is that not fun to watch?
Yeah, and he probably should, because I don't think he gets a lot of credit, you know, around the league and stuff, but I don't think he'll get end up this year, no matter what he does, with the kind of kudos that he should get in this league, because he's not playing for the prima donna teams.
Well, and he's also not, and we're not going to finish with the kind of record that's going to get that kind of publicity either.
Correct. I mean, look at all the credit that the clown down at Ole Miss the last couple of years got for his scoring when he would take 35 shots a night. If Josh Richardson took 20 shots a night, there's no telling what his scoring average would be. I have never seen a person go up for a 12, 15-foot shot that I had more confidence was going in that I can remember ever. I mean, with Allen Houston's, Lofton, you know, I had confidence when they let go of three. But with Josh, if he's in that 12, 15-foot range, I expect I'm just totally disappointed when one didn't go down.
It's so true. And when he gets
so smooth. I mean, he's just smooth, and he's got everything. Step back, 12, 15-foot shot, hit a couple of threes. And I don't know what his final stats was, but, you know, I know early in the second half, or maybe just in the first half, he had three assists, a couple of steals. I mean, he piles up the stat line.
He finished with 19 points tonight, four boards, three assists, did not commit a personal foul.
How many turnovers?
I don't have that number, but I will. That'll be on the final stats.
That was the odd thing to me about the game tonight. When was the last time you saw a game where a team did not get in the bonus, neither team got in the bonus for an entire half, and then, but for Tech needing to foul in the second half, I'm not really sure we get in the bonus. Anybody gets in the bonus in the second half?
No.
Absolutely true. I like the way the officials let them play tonight. Hey, the officials let
any fouls here tonight.
Officials let both teams play. I don't mind officiating like that. I can watch games like that all day long.
I'll take it over calling foul after foul.
You damn straight, Don.
Well, guys, I'll get off with somebody else on. I'm just glad to get another win and pick up another football recruit Tuesday.
So, gotta love it, brother. Thank you.
See you later.
It's a great day to be alive and well in Big Orange Country. 865-200-5402. Do you have a thought? And then we'll go back to the phones. Anything?
Oh, I think you take that and you run with it. Mm-hmm. Look, this team's not built in a manner that makes it easy to run up a huge number of wins. So every time, so put it this way, where are you at as far as trying to make the NIT if you let that game get away tonight?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any doubt that you're in a position where you take them. In a lot of ways, Tony, I think this team is certainly more talented than the team I'm going to reference. But to me, this is a lot like Kevin O'Neill's first year. It was a celebration every time that bunch won, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of ways, is that when probably a better comparison would be O'Neill's second team, the one that ended up making the NIT. I think you look at that, and you find ways to win, and you take them. And this team, hey, I said at the start of the year, and you and I said it off the air, I said it on the air, I figured this team would take at least one really awful non-conference loss.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done that yet. Marquette's not good. That's not an awful one. And they're three games away from surviving and having gotten through without that kind of loss.
Mm-hmm.
So you accomplish that, that's not bad.
Not bad
at
all.
In this day and age of college basketball, when you've got Incarnate Word going in and beating a good Nebraska team on the road, it's hard to win all the ones you should.
So, in other words, anything can happen.
Absolutely. I would think you've got to stick with what I think you've got to take tonight. And there were some things that certainly they can work on, but I didn't. And I think Tennessee Tech's probably, they're middle of the pack in the OVC, but I mean, they're not atrocious.
No.
I mean, they played Alabama close. They're not the worst team. They're far from the worst team Tennessee will play this year. So I think you win that one. You shake your head at some of the things that happen, and this team's going to make you shake your head because they're going to throw the ball. They're going to try to throw a pass from the wing 27 feet out through three guys into the post. It's just how they play. Not everybody's John Stockton out there. Not everybody sees the game that well. So you play through it. But the one thing tonight, and I commented about Willie Carmichael with some folks, the one thing I like is a guy who, when he makes an awful mistake like that, tries to run down to the other end and make up for it.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
instead of just stopping running and putting their head down and getting all hangdog and creating an even bigger problem.
Give you a good example of that. Tonight, Bachman made a play where he made a turnover, and he hustled right back down the other end of the floor and got the ball back.
Absolutely. Well, Josh misses a free throw when the game's close and then chases the kid down and steals the ball from him from behind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easy in life. It's easy in basketball, life, any endeavor. When you make a mistake, you just hang your head and go, woe is me, and try to regroup and call a timeout for yourself. Well, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm. Go back to our phones.
You got to keep rolling.
All lines are jammed. Keith Hatfield's on a roll. The Vols roll tonight. Let's go back to our phones, grab another call. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Bearing, and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime on this Friday. Hello.
Guys, what's up? It's JM.
Hey, JM. Great talk to you,
man.
Hey,
JM. Hey, you know, 10 years ago or thereabouts, Bino and myself and Jeff Brock and Harry Scruggs and Brocky's buddy Kramer.
Short bus Kramer.
Started doing Tennessee basketball road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And Bino dubbed it the Jurassic Hoops Club.
Hmm.
And they made me an honorary member because I made the average age of the group go down significantly. But I just wanted to say that just sort of randomly felt the need to just say how much I appreciate your all, just what you do, Tony. And I mean, most of the friends I have that I talk hoops with, I met through your show.
Mm.
And so, I don't know. I really enjoy this, this basketball overtime show and just, you know, us having a chance to, you know, chew the fat over this stuff. And it's community, you know.
What a nice thing for you to say, and I appreciate it.
I know that's I know it's kind of off the trail tonight, but I don't know if I felt the need to say that.
Thank you.
So anyway, tonight's game, it's I kind of expect these type of games from this team. We're not talented enough to really blow out too many teams, and I think, honestly, the next three games, if we're just able to get out of those with W's and go into the conference with an 8-4 record, I think that'll be pretty good, and we should all be happy with that.
Oh, no doubt, Jay. I mean, if you give me three more 3-point wins just like tonight, I'm perfectly happy.
Take it and run. Take it and run. Yep. So we need to build a little cushion going into the league. Not that our league's all that good, but in fantasy land, I'd like to go to the NCAA tournament, but if we are going to go to an NIT, we definitely need these next three games. And like I said, build a little cushion going into conference play. So I'm not looking for style points. I'm just glad they got the win.
You know, with this team, too, one thing we're not going to, I don't think we're going to cry about, is, man, I can't believe how they played. They didn't like they cared. Like last year, we spent three quarters of last season just ripping that team because they, compared to this year's team, I mean, the level of output, it's just not even close. But the level of athlete that team had compared to the level of athlete this team has, that's not even close.
Well, there's a difference between an ugly basketball game like tonight where guys are giving it all they've got and an ugly game like early last year or the previous two seasons where it was just that malaise where they're just swinging it from wing to wing and just no urgency at all. I mean, there's a huge difference. It's night and day. Mm-hmm. I can put up with guys. I can put up with a roster that just doesn't have any size, no true point guard, and this kind of thing. But is making do and kind of making lemonade out of lemons at times. But, that stuff we saw, 85% of the Konzo era was just pure slop.
It was unacceptable.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And this is fun. This is going to be, and the point I like that you made is this is going to be a nail biter every time they take the floor. And I tried to say that the other day, and I think I made some people mad. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not worried about that because people that are expecting this team to go to the NCAA tourney, hey, God bless them. That's all I
got
to say.
Well, think about this too, Tony.
Yeah.
Given the Donnie Kendall stuff, you think this team has any chance of getting in off the bubble?
No, that's the case.
Point.
That's a great
point. So unless you think this group is somehow winning 22 games or so, it ain't happening.
Well, look, I mean, I've seen some of our really talented teams in the Uncle Jed era and even Konzo's teams that have lost to Georgia at home or, you know, bad South Carolina teams. And
Austin
you're going to have you're going to have nights like that. You can't just go through the schedule and say, okay, Ole Miss at home, that's a win. You can't do that because you just don't know. You're going to come out on a Wednesday night where you've got 7,500 people in the crowd and you're just going to play dead. It's just going to happen. So we just don't know. We're probably, the old cliche, we're going to probably drop a couple we're not supposed to and win a couple we're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't know. We're just going to have to take it little by little and support them.
I love them, man. I'm enjoying this. I just can't even believe how much I'm enjoying this.
Hey, I'm going to jump off.
Thank you, brother.
Have a good weekend.
You too,
right,
man. 865-200-5402. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Tony, it's Smitty. How are you?
Hey, Smitty. Welcome in, man.
Hey, the last caller kind of stole my thunder and I almost forgot what I was going to say when Don called. He almost put me to sleep. But that's besides the point.
A shot taking it, Don. Taking it,
yeah.
Don. over the bow of this program. Do you stand in opposition to that? Let me ask Hatfield, do you stand in opposition to that?
I have no problem with Don's calls.
Okay.
All right, well, anyway, I wanted to say I really like the lineup that started out the second half. I like what Donnie did to kind of wake up Kevin Punter. It worked. Mm-hmm. I think that was a good job there. Mm-hmm. But I also kind of like that lineup bringing Ian Childs in. I thought that it kind of gave the team a little spark. I thought they showed some kind of they showed something else, maybe a little more, maybe a little more enthusiasm or something like that. But mm-hmm. I like the way that Childs played. I didn't know. Hopefully he could get some more minutes because he looked pretty decent out there, and he was a really good scorer at IUPUI, and heck, he could take Bob Hubbs' spot for all I care.
Poor Bob Hubbs. Keith, your thoughts on Ian Childs' game tonight?
Like I said, I thought he came in, he changed the game a little bit for Tennessee. I don't think there's any doubt that his play was certainly better than what they had gotten out of that position to that point. I thought they changed some stuff up, and I think that's how they ultimately got out of there alive.
Yeah, they didn't have anything from, obviously, old Bobby. They didn't have anything from Punter really up to that point. And then Baltman was struggling at best. He got it together in the second half. That position's kind of iffy at this point, but I wouldn't mind to see him come in those situations at all and get some more minutes, because he'd only played 1 minute up to this point in the game, up to this point in the season. So hopefully we see him a little more, but just wanted to call in and say that. And like I said the other night, and like I think JM said, every game is going to be close like this, but it's going to be a fun ride.
It is, because you get
above. I think we can get above 500 in conference and get above 500 on the season, and maybe surprise some people.
That'd be a terrific result. Hey, if we can win, if we can put up a mark like 16-13, 17-14, hey, that'd be an unbelievable season.
How's 11 and what would it be, 11-7 in conference?
Yeah, be wonderful, man.
I think we could do it. The conference is awful. I mean, for the most part. So some of these teams, I mean, like LSU last night at UAB was iffy at best.
Mm-hmm.
It did not look very good. They didn't look good against San Diego State the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas came on the road. I mean, you just got to – obviously, we have to play them in Fayetteville. But, you get some of these teams, and in the SEC especially, with a lot of bad coaching, there's just really no telling what could happen. So,
thank you, Smitty. Great talking
all right,
to you.
See you guys.
Great talking to you. Keith, do the math. Tennessee's sitting there at 5-4 right now. Three more non-league games. Let's say you win all three. You walk out with an 8-4 record.
What?
Say you go split them. You go half and half in the league. What's that leave you?
That's 17-13, Tony. I think that's for this team, and probably put you in a position where you probably play somebody awful in the first round of the SEC. So then that's 18.
You're getting close.
Yeah, I mean, certainly 17-13. Even if you get beat in the first round of the SEC tournament, 17-14 should get you in the NIT. Out of a major conference. Wins over Butler and win over Kansas State. And you maybe pick off somebody else of note in the league, which, I mean, pretty much that means you beat LSU or Arkansas, because I can't imagine a team as physically limited inside as we are having any chance of beating Kentucky.
To the Twitter, and then we'll go back to the phones. Possum Vol said, I just tuned in. Just wondering if Hubs has been officially declared a bust. No, not here.
Well, I mean,
but I'll tell you this.
Gray was bad for a long time.
Yeah, the thing about Hubs, though, is the reports I'm getting from him. See, from the past staff, Keith, I got reports that they were telling me that McCray was going to be a pro player, and I was laughing. I said, yeah, where? Joe Robbie Stadium? You're going to get on Pro Player Park? His first couple, because he can get out of his way his first couple of years. And they kept saying, no, this guy's going to be a really fine player. The reports I'm getting out of Tyndall's practices, and you got to understand something, Tyndall's practices outside of Mundy are closed. But the reports I'm getting is that Hubs just gets whipped in practice. In fact, this Baughman guy has been wearing him out, apparently.
Well, watching his body language out there right now, Tony, I don't know who wouldn't whip him. Like, as you said, you were talking earlier about, you know, we're talking about him being this, that, or the other. I mean, he was essentially dominated by guys who aren't even real, all OVC caliber players tonight. So, I think he's got some decisions to make about, it's not, college basketball is not easy to play.
No.
You got to come and fight every night, and if you don't want to do that, you're not going to be good. It's just that simple.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. If you want to talk about this evening, we would love to hear from you on this show, and hope that you get in here with us. Let's go ahead and grab another phone call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, this is Daniel.
Hey, Daniel, welcome, man.
This is one of those McCleary boys that used to talk to you years ago.
Oh, man, so glad to hear you.
Used to be, that was JM a couple calls back.
Uh-huh. That was JM, sure was.
Yeah, he mentioned all the friends he's made, and because of you, basically, well, I've got just, and JM's one of them, people I've conversed with for, you know, on the internet, on Sports Parlor South, for 13 years now. I've known these people.
Hey, you're scaring me, man.
Quoting on them, you know, people like JM, like Shane Cook, like Jeff Brock, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
People like that, and it's all, you know, like I said, it certainly revolves around you in a lot of ways.
Well, and don't I know
back
it.
In the day.
Hey, Danny, the blowback I get from people, I learn sometimes how it revolves around me. But anyway, yeah, so what's on your mind tonight?
Well, like I said on the Twitter there, I think a Konzo team, I think a Bruce Pearl team would have lost this game tonight. Because they did lose
good
games
question.
Like this.
Good, that's a great
you
point.
Know, Austin P, these mid-December games that
point.
Their players just quit on, you know, teams that made it far into the NCAA tournament, you know, that made it to the NCAA tournament, and some far into it. But a game like this, they would have lost. I think that shows what kind of coach Donnie Tindall is.
Keith Hatfield, your thoughts on that couple of regimes, maybe two or three regimes deep, tonight's game might have been a loss. They didn't have their legs. It was kind of a stinker.
The statistics say those guys have those kinds of losses. So, I mean, they were there. I mean, you've got Austin P, you got Bruce. Now, granted, the Oakland team,
team
that beat them that year was really, really,
really
good.
Really good, yeah.
But the Charlotte team they lost to that year was, I think, worse than the Tennessee Tech team tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got the Austin P loss that Konzo had. Mm. They got blown out up at Oakland. I mean, yeah, they're and an Oakland team that wasn't any good. So, I mean, yeah, there's been moments, certainly.
Mm. Well, guys, I'm going to get on off. It's good to talk to you. There's something been praying on my mind, Tony, for a couple days now, and that's Rick Ray. You know, we've got the Big Gulp, and you were searching for a nickname for
yeah, you got to help me with Rick Ray, man.
Well, have you ever saw, and I know you have, Rick Ashley, the singer, Never
yes,
Gonna Give.
Yes, together forever and ever
okay.
Apart.
Well, if he ever shows up, this is a thing on social media that I've saw, but if he ever shows up anywhere just singing, you know, then you've been Rick-rolled, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your team gets beat by a lower mid-major by 15, 20 points, if you can't shoot free throws, if your coach stands there like a wooden Indian, and you've been Rick Ray.
That's ridiculous. Thank you, man. Daddy, you made my night.
Buddy.
That's
Here's
funny.
Here's the question, though.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah.
Here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Does getting beaten by Rick Ray in the SEC play eventually become the basketball equivalent of being croomed?
Where do they find these people? What did we decide the other day, that Rick Ray has the presence of a thumbtack? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's just atrocious.
Does he do a nice job, Keith?
No, I mean, he's Wade Houston. He's Ed Murphy. He's right there in the tradition. Ron, a guy who's in the building tonight, he's Ron Jersa. He's in the great tradition in the SEC of giving people who have absolutely no business coaching NAIA Division II ball as a head coach, head coaching job.
Did you just pull out Ron Jersa out of your rectum?
He was in the building tonight, Tony. He was sitting directly across from me.
You are, without a doubt, a complete simpleton. For
I mean, Ron Jersa was there.
Ron Jersa was in the house tonight, wasn't he?
Yes. I mean, that should tell you something about the quality of coaches we hire in the SEC. That guy, and you could watch him interact in the huddles. The guy's doing him a favor. Steve Payne's doing him a favor. He's like the third assistant on it. He's the number three assistant on a mid-level OVC team, and Georgia thought he needed to be a head coach.
I love stuff.
That's how we do business in this league on the basketball side.
See,
and everyone
like
wonders why the league is so terrible.
Well, I just like the fact that the commissioner and the office is going to handle scheduling, so we can have more interesting non-conference losses.
Exactly. So we can start. Well, I mean, it will be better. I mean, it won't look as bad. So instead of getting beat by North Florida, we'll now get beat by North Carolina. Well, big deal. How about worrying about putting a decent product out there? Yeah, they're worried about we need to raise the RPI to get more teams in the NCAA tournament. Man, if you don't win the games, I don't care what your schedule looks like.
You're open-minded. I'll say that for you.
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, what the hell difference does it make if you play a top 10 RPI schedule if you're 5-22?
I knew we could work you into a froth. It just happened to – I guess it just had to happen organically would be the word I would use this evening for what's happened to you. You've gotten whipped into a froth organically.
I see the way they do business in basketball in this league.
Yeah.
And it's just the most ridiculous stuff I've ever seen.
It's idiotic. Here's the thing. You and I, we love basketball. And I know this conference, and a lot of people listening to us love it. That's why we're all in here on a Friday night. We're in a league, though, that literally does not value it at all. Now, they say they do, but they really don't. They don't fight for it. They sacrificed Tennessee that year, and they've done it before in this league. I mean, they'll to protect the football kitty, they'll sacrifice a basketball program or two when they have to, if they've got to shave one here or there.
Oh, no, they don't. Basketball in this league, the only reason I think the SEC even fields basketball teams is to get their cut of the NCAA tournament.
No question. It's very well put. Back to our phones we go. If you'd like to get in with us, 865-200-5402. I am Basilio tonight. Is that my name? Yes. Putting out old flames, that's my game. The fireman. Hello and welcome.
Hey guys, it's MP. How you doing?
Hey MP, welcome.
Hey MP, how's it going today?
Great, Keith. You feeling all right, bud?
Doing okay.
Hey, I mean, obviously, I have no sense in really rehashing, you know, the game. I mean, it's kind of what we all thought. It's going to happen a lot this year. But looking around the league, Keith, do you think Muscular Buzz over there at South Carolina has finally figured it out? Because I was keeping up with that Clemson game, and they went on like a 36-9 run in the second half. Think Carolina's legit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know that they're legit. I don't think they're going to be an NCAA tournament team. I think it's a little harsh on him, Muscular Buzz, considering that guy was a missed free throw away from going to a Final Four.
He has called him Muscular Buzz.
I think that's a little tough.
Which I kind of like. I kind of like it. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I do like the sentiment of Muscular Buzz.
And they've got a top 15, top 20 recruiting class coming in next year.
Are they locking down a lot of in-state kids over there?
Yeah, he's doing a better job of that. They had one getaway. They essentially had two really big recruits over there this year. They got one of them.
And the other kid, I think, is going to maybe Louisville. So they split on that. But if you get half the good players out of South Carolina and you keep Clemson out of that fight, hey, South Carolina will be fine. Be it with Frank Martin or whoever's the coach. If you're getting your fair, if you get your fair share of the good players out of that state, that's why it amazes me. They haven't won an NCAA tournament game since like 1971.
That's
almost impossible.
That's embarrassing.
That's almost impossible to do.
That is embarrassing.
They don't win. I know in 97 they were at 15 and lost to 2. I think they won one in 98. I guess I'm wrong. Wow.
Didn't they lose as a 3 to a 14?
They got beat by Coppin State the next year.
Coppin State was the 15 seed that beat them.
And then they turned around B.J. Mackey's team. Yep.
It was Richmond. You're right. They haven't. Wow. I think probably Alabama's a more athletic team than Tennessee. And then LSU, obviously, I think is better. Tennessee plays at Arkansas, correct, guys?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of our fans are thinking maybe 10-8 or 11-7. I sort of see this thing maybe being more like a 7-11, 8-10, maybe 9-9. I just think that, you know, we got to really temper our expectations with this team.
Well, and you're talking about LSU, talking about teams in this league. Like I said on the show today, if LSU would do what North Carolina State's done, essentially just tell the head coach, look, we realize you're an idiot. Just do TV and radio and do the front man stuff and let your lead assistant run the show. LSU's a Sweet 16, Elite 8 caliber team.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, they've got an NBA front line. And I'll tell you, the guy who's a really good player, Tony, and you'll get a kick out of this, is Bruce Hornsby's kid.
Yeah, I heard Brian Hartman tell you today that's just the way it is when you said that, which is a great line.
I think, too, that a lot of people, I think a lot of our fans will be disappointed if Tennessee doesn't have a positive 500 league record because, you know, you look at the league and you perceive that it's down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't an excuse, but, you know, we're down, too. I mean, you know, Tennessee's probably going to be less talented than, well, you look what the media said, you know, 13 or 14. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I think, you know, if you finish in the top 6 or 7, but probably going to mean losing to some teams that you scratch your head. It may lose to South Carolina for the first time since 07. How is Violent Buzz's team doing over in Oxford? Are they any good?
No,
Buzz.
I don't think Andy. You talking? So you said it's Muscular Buzz and Violent Buzz. You know what's funny? You know what's the great thing about that is those guys were on the same staff at one point.
Mm.
So that guy's horrible, isn't he?
Andy's. I don't know how good a job Ole Miss is. I mean, Andy right now is making a lot of money because of Marshall Henderson.
Right.
Lost a lot of hair because of Marshall Henderson.
They used to have some other athletes. It seems. I guess he had Tariqa White there for a while too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris Warren got hurt. They were pretty good. I mean, he's only made the tournament once, but if Chris Warren doesn't tear up his knee, he's probably made the tournament 2 or 3 times. But no, certainly Andy's tenure there. I don't think anybody from the Big 12 or anywhere is racing down there to hire Andy Kennedy. No. And they're not that, from what I saw them the other night, even though Coastal Carolina is pretty good, I wasn't terribly impressed with what I saw from Ole Miss.
Tony, I was impressed to hear when you had Coach Tindall on today. He had a very positive outlook on the way recruiting and the reception was when he's looking at a kid. So I think that's a pretty positive sign. Unfortunately, just like every other sport that matters at this university, you know, however it happens, you dig such a hole to where it's almost a constant rebuild. I think we got the guy that can do it, and, you know, beat a dead horse. I hope he stays around because, you know, I can see in 2 or 3 years us being a pretty good program. But great job tonight, guys. I'll get off here and hope you all have a good weekend.
Thank you, man. 865-200-5402. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Keith, you're presented by?
Our good friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House on down on Gay Street in Knoxville next to the historic Tennessee Theater.
And you're the best. It's a blessing, man, to get a chance to do this with you. Are we going to do it again on the 22nd after the game?
Monday night? Can't imagine why not.
Or is that 21st?
It's Monday night. I think it's the 22nd.
I do fear not much of a crowd. If Tennessee fans show up in any numbers over probably 5,000 Monday, I'm going to give them credit, because given that you're going against a Monday night football game between two teams that have at least some fan following here, and you're around Christmas, hey, if Tennessee fans show up Monday night, kudos to them.
Who are the two teams?
The Bengals and the Broncos, Tony.